Now we move on to our reporters' roundtable with their perspective on the Jenarlo Wilson case and the newest fight over the S-CHIP bill. We've got John Yearwood, world editor for the Miami Herald, Danny McClain, a reporter with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Adrian Walker, a columnist for the Boston Globe. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
So, Danny, from your perspective, are you surprised about this ruling about Jenarlo Wilson?
I actually have to say that I am surprised. I know that, the case has been getting a lot of attention nationwide, and I think many of us had just chalked it up to, another situation in which the accused person's race was playing a large role in this. I think what I find most interesting, though, is it will be interesting to see if it has any effect here in Wisconsin. Wisconsin has a fairly broad child abuse law that makes it a felony for anyone under the age of 16 to be having sex. There have been some cases in which consensual sex between 14 and 15-year-olds has been, those participating in sex have been prosecuted on sexual assault charges. So I think it'll be interesting to see how and if this recent ruling will affect legislators here in Wisconsin.
Adrian, let's turn to the interpretation of this. As a columnist, there's been this discussion. Jenarlo Wilson did behave inappropriately to some people. He was in a hotel room filming the sex act. Is he being made into a civil rights martyr for essentially inappropriate behavior?
In a way, he is. But I think that, as people became more aware of the case through the media coverage, I think there was a strong feeling that the 10-year sentence, the 10-year minimum sentence, was completely inappropriate. I mean, he's not a martyr. You're right that he did behave inappropriately. But that was an awfully harsh sentence under the circumstances. And I was not terribly surprised by the decision today.
John, what about this framing of the story in light of the Gina 6, which did polarize some people? Some people said, look, you're taking young men who acted violently and making them into civil rights heroes. How's that playing out in the media, you think?
I think, Farai, that what we've seen is that for a lot of people, both cases went beyond the pale in terms of what ought to have been done by the various judges and juries down there. What I thought was interesting, though, as I listened to your previous interview as well as the one in the previous segment, I thought how important it is that judges use or apply proper judgment as they listen to and judge and rule on these cases, and go beyond the bench, because as we look at what Judge Southwick will be required to do when he gets to the Fifth Circuit, in many of these cases, as we've seen with this case involving Jenarlo, it involves going beyond beyond all the evidence that's before you. And in this case, we're seeing the minority accusing the majority of going beyond what the General Assembly intended. But sometimes I think you need to go beyond the bench as you look at these cases. And I think in this case, the Supreme Court may have done just that.
Now, I'm going to stay with you, John. Different topic. Back to S-CHIP round two. The president vetoed the bill earlier this month, claimed expanding the program would allow for middle-income families to take advantage of the system. This seems to have legs. How do you think the story has been covered? Is it something that's now playing out on the broader level nationally?
It's gotten a huge amount of coverage throughout the country, and I think what I think to some extent is lost in all of this coverage. A lot of the coverage we've been seeing has been looking at who's winning and who's losing, whether the Republicans are ahead on this issue or can use this next year, or the Democrats can. I think what's being lost here is the fact that we have millions of low-income people who actually need this insurance who are not going to be able to get it. And I think a lot of the coverage we've seen have not really been zero in on that key fact. Instead, we're looking at, in effect, who's up and who's down and who can use this issue. And I think that's unfortunate.
Danny, do you think this is playing out more on the level of, okay, what's this about, or politics?
I think that a lot of the coverage has focused on the politics, and especially with the move of Dianne Feinstein coming through as, you know, a Democrat who kind of crossed over. But I think, you know, again, here in Wisconsin, the focus has been it's not really playing as that big a story, I think, because we do have a pretty extensive, you know, S-CHIP program here, Badger Care, which was just expanded to include families of up to 300% of the federal poverty level. So our program here in Wisconsin was expanded, and our budget just finally passed after months of deadlock on Tuesday. And so I think most folks here are focused more on that there's broad support for an expanded program, and just many people are just taking kind of a wait-and-see approach to what's happening on the federal level.
And Adrian, these issues are very different locally. Massachusetts has had a broad-ranging set of healthcare initiatives. Does that affect in Boston, at the Boston Globe, how you cover this story?
I think it does a little bit. You know, we're in the early stages of trying to, or, you know, Massachusetts is in the early stages of trying to insure everybody in the state. And I think that probably makes S-CHIP a little bit more interesting than it would be otherwise. And I also agree with the rest of the panel that it has been covered primarily as a political story as opposed to, you know, more substantively. And I think that's too bad.
Well, you know, there's been, of course, this huge coverage of the wildfires. There have been yoga and massages at San Diego's Qualcomm Center, California's in flames. And there has been a discussion, Adrian, of whether or not there is some shadow of Katrina, whether it's, oh, wow, government has finally gotten its act together, or, hey, if you're white and you're not poor, you can get much better service. Have you written about this? How have people, other people, in your opinion, written about this?
I have not written about this, and we haven't covered the wildfires extensively, I guess because they're so far away. But, you know, I think the Katrina comparisons are inevitable, and you're going to see them every time there's a disaster like this. And it is certainly interesting to see the contrast between the way they've responded, you know, relatively quickly in San Diego versus what we saw in Louisiana a few years ago.
Danny, what do you think about even making this comparison?
I think it's a fair comparison, and I think it is inevitable. I think that the way it's playing here in our editorial pages is, you know, clearly the federal government and the coordination between various levels of government is working much better in California, and isn't it sad that we had to kind of go through the horrors of Katrina in order for government to get its act together? And that's been kind of consistent with what I've seen in the coverage elsewhere. I think it's a fair comparison. I think that inevitable, maybe not fair, but I think that after what happened in 05, we have to look at these types of disasters through that lens of how poorly it was handled in Louisiana and the Gulf Coast.
John, this is a disaster of huge magnitude, thousands and thousands of homes destroyed, so many people displaced. Can you, as a reporter, make a judgment about whether a story that is localized, in this case in California, all the way across from where you are in Miami, should be heavily covered in your paper?
Well, for I live in a state that where we're no strangers to natural disasters with our hurricanes, and so we can certainly empathize with what our friends and in some cases family in California, what they're going through. So I think we've had it here at the Miami Herald on the front page several times, although we're at the point where we're turning the corner on it because it, to some extent, it seems to be waning. And going back to one of your earlier questions about whether or not we need to look at this to some extent through the Katrina lens, I think it's an appropriate question. And even the president is addressing that, given how we have how the U.S. government has handled Katrina. I think everything that comes after it, to some extent, has to be looked at through the Katrina eyes, and hopefully everyone can say we'll never do that again.
Well, John, Danny, Adrian, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
John Yearwood is the world editor for the Miami Herald, and he joined us from member station WLRN in Miami, Florida. Danny McLean is a reporter with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Adrian Walker is a columnist for the Boston Globe. He joined us from station WGBH in Boston, Massachusetts.